morning.
Praise the Lord. What a wonderful day. Sun shining, and we're here together, nice and warm, and that was kind of cold outside. The thing I enjoy most is being with our family, the family of God. So for some of you, going to top scripture. We're going to see what the Bible says. And this morning I want to think about the situation of who we are. You know, we come here, we put on our faces, we have family, we sing songs, and that's wonderful, isn't it? We just enjoy where we are. And we have good anticipation for where we're going. But you know, sometimes we really just kind of need to talk about where we came from. I don't want to do that. We're going to talk about God's rehab program. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 to 11. It says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners, shall inherit the kingdom of God. But I want to assure you that I didn't write that. I'm not responsible for that. And since we come here as a Bible-believing people and want to do what God said, we believe that God has the right knowledge, and He has the answers, and we are to submit to it. I present to you just like God said it. Here are the problems. And such were some of you. You know, I have to think, well, yeah, those guys are really bad out there. Those deceivers, those immoral, adulterers, homosexuals, thieves, covetous, drunkards, rebellions, all of the statues, all of that, what a mess. The man is a terrible place. Yeah, things are pretty bad. And you don't know the half of it, I think, sometimes. It's somewhere I just shake my head at the mess that the world's in. Kind of goes back to our ways, doesn't it? Goes back to the time of Adam. And you recall that they made some choices. They listened to the Bible, and the result was that the human race fell. So we have a problem. The conditions haven't changed. People still justify themselves. They still kill each other. They still do things that are wrong and justify it. These are the real problems of the world. And the world tries to find some way they're going to deal with it. One way, of course, is to make it legal. So, hey, if it's legal, then that's what's coming to us. It's legal. And then another way is to maybe kind of lock them all up. I'm at jails. We have to keep burning them. And we have to get a lot out because the conditions are so bad, so overcrowded. Maybe execute them. Unfortunately, you can't execute them fast enough. You know, it's just, you're not going to rid the world of all these people and all these problems. You have to deal with it some way. So we have laws and we have psychologists and sociologists and all kinds of religious theories and philosophies and things like that that are supposed to try to solve the problem. Sounds good. Go to college. Study this view and that view. And eventually, when the rules change, you have to do it differently. And so the world keeps moving on, struggling through with people dying of all kinds of problems and diseases because they haven't listened to what God said. And the only thing we can do is offer this little heaven, this little oasis in the middle of the desert, where people can come and try to get help. And that's what we try to do. After Jesus, solving their problems, we can't force them, we can't put them into a psych ward and run them through a series of tests and maybe throw something in there. There's nothing we can do about that. All we can do is appeal through the love of Jesus and the wisdom of God. And those who hear, gain. And those who doubt, doubt. And then that is that, unfortunately, people affect each other. And so as we come together in the church, we're having these people coming from all different backgrounds, with all kinds of different problems. Some really seeking that, maybe some creating problems. And so this is our condition, this is our situation as a church. We struggle with these problems. Such were some of you. Such were some of you. I want to give you a few other passages that are similar to those. Well, a number of these passages, I'm going to say exactly the same thing. Usually Paul does this summary in different books. 1 Corinthians 6, 9-11. Do you not know that the unrighteous, now this actually is a part of the same context as the passage we just read. But here he's talking about those problems and how the church needed to deal with them. He had a problem in the church at Corinth of a man who was immoral, who was having sexual relations with his father's wife, his stepmother. And he says, this is a terrible thing even the Gentiles don't do. So, God knew at least at that time, today it seems like them as events, but it's a real mess off in there. But at that time, at least, they had some conscience about some of these things, even among the Gentiles, the pagans. He says, do you not know that in righteousness, the righteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither sexually or body. This is the one I already read. I'll go on. And suffer some of you that you were not, but you were sanctified, that you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. That's the other side of the thing. And we're going to talk about both of these sides. Now, I will go to other passages that show the same kind of thing. In 1 Corinthians 5:11, this is related to the same thing. It's in the same context. And here he says, and now I have written unto you to keep company, not to keep company, if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a raider, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, for such a one will not eat. Now, notice how the church dealt with the problem. These things happen. They get in the church sometimes. And God gave the way we can deal with it. We can't put people in jail. We can't force them. We have to appeal to the love of God and to the wisdom of God to deal with these things. And so Paul says, here's how, he said, I told you not to have company with these people. And when he says, now I didn't mean the people of this world, the outsiders. So I'm talking about in the church. You need to deal with these problems. And here's how I want it done. He said, don't have any comfort, don't eat with them. Shun them. leave them outside. Now the church, the word just comes on ground when they find out that the church has shunned somebody. This is what God said, and it works. If you don't, then you know, the church then becomes like the world. All garbage, you can't clean anything up, you just, everybody lives in the same misery. In verses 5:19-21, he says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. And here's another one of those lists. Adultery. You know, adultery is okay in this world. Sure. If you want to put someone in that, it's all right. It's legal. Fornication. Yeah, girls and guys should have all the freedom to have sex with these. Just give them a condom. There's this false idea that because it isn't illegal, if you make it illegal, if you make it legal, it's okay. But with God, we have a higher law. And it isn't okay, and it does the damage whether or not you make it illegal. It hurts people. It hurts children. Little kids have to be ones in homes that are all messed up, and with people that are all messed up. And so God has, in the church, as people come together, he says, here are the ways to deal with these things. And now we are manifesting the works of the flesh. He says, I made law manifest. These are adultery, that's unfaithfulness to your wife or husband with somebody else. Fornication, basically that's any kind of immorality, fundamentally dealing with those who are not married to the person that they're having this relationship with. Uncleanliness, the sinlessness, these are the kinds of things that people do in the focused on sex. This is pornography. Fellows, this is pornography. Lasciviousness. Exciting lust is what lasciviousness means. Uncleanliness. This is telling all kinds of foul stories. Wandering around in sex. These things are harmful to you and are harmful to your relationships. And they're harmful to your relationship with God, most of all. Idolatry. Idolatry comes in all kinds and colors. It isn't just bowing down to some kind of an image. Idolatry includes the lust for money. The Bible says that this kind of thing is idolatry. And so it's a dangerous type thing. It's putting anything in the hand of God is idolatry. Witchcraft. Messing around with my heart. Hatred. Violence, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, all of this conflict stuff that goes out in the world. These are against God. They're the works of the flesh. Envious. Envying people. Murder. Drunkenness. Violence. I've underlined the ones that tend to, that are listed in the first list, is all I've done. I'm not trying to put them above any others. I'm just showing that these lists, there are several of these lists. Violence, which is going out and having a high time dancing and thinking about drinking. Such like whatever all this stuff and which I tell you before as I have told you in time past that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So you make the choice. What do I want? Do I want the kingdom of God, or do I want the kingdom of Satan? If he Ephesians 5, 3 through 6. There's another list here. But fornication and uncleanliness or covetousness, let it not once be named among you as become a saint. The saint should be kept out. Unfortunately, the world just keeps. It's like, you heard last night about the camel? And have you ever, how many of you heard the story about the camel and the Arab? Not many, I'm going to tell you the story. The camel, it was a cold night, and the Arab was inside the tent, all wrapped up, sleeping. And the camel was outside, and he's outside the tent, he's shivering. And so he sticks his nose in the tent and he says, "Please, sir, can I just put my nose inside the tent? I'm so cold out here." And the Arab says, "Yeah, sure, it's okay." And so the camel says, "Please, sir, can I stick my ears inside the tent? They're so cold." And he says, "Sure, sure." And so he says, the camel says, "You know, my neck is so cold. Could I just put my neck inside the tent?" "Yes, sure, go ahead." You know what happened? Pretty soon, the camel is in the tent and the Arab is on the outside. You know, that's what happens with sin. It gets in the church, you let it go, you don't do anything about it, and pretty soon, the Christians are getting pushed out of the church. And the church is taken over by the devil. These things should not be known among us. We just should not, kids, girls, young people, don't get involved with these guys that are trying to take advantage of you. You're very foolish. And you know, we try to help, but you're blind though. You know, I have people tell me, "Oh, your church is such a mess because you got these people that are, you know, have been in trouble." Well, we're set here because we care, not because we approve of what people have done. We've cried and we have cared for people. And so we don't just dump people out, but we do try to bring them to understand that this kind of behavior hurts them, it hurts their future, it hurts their kids, and ultimately hurts the relationship with God. It hurts the church. These things should not be known among us. Neither filthiness, nor foul foolish talking, nor jesting, which is improper, but rather the giving of thanks. We need to speak on good things. Give thanks. Thank God. A lot of times we just be thankful to God rather than always lying around and all of our self-pity and all the problems. How much wonderful it would be. Isn't it wonderful when we come together and concentrating on the good things, the positive things? And sometimes though we have to deal with the hard realities of things that are wrong. For this, you know that now one among the unclean person, a covetous man, was an idolater, as an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. God, if you don't clean up the church, God is going to clean up in the world. He's not going to allow us to come in. And we need to be working to do what God wants. Let no man deceive you with vain words. Remember, that's what he said there in the other passage. Don't let anybody fool you. For because of these things comes the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Now, not once in grace, always in grace, once you get dunked in the water or say, "I believe in Jesus." Now, if that will not stop you having to face the consequences of sin, the children of disobedience are going to be judged if they are fooled, deceived by these empty explanations and words and philosophies of the modern day, the, what do we call it, the politically correct things. God is going to be running. We got a Supreme Court that's higher than our Supreme Court here. Did you know that? There's a higher court. And it's going to be appealed up there, I'll agree. Alright, let's look at the problem. Now there's a list, this whole list of different things that were wrong and damaging and destructive. Let's look at the problem. First, the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. Not come here and say, you can't let them come to hell. Well, you might want to heaven if you do these things. That's all. I mean, I didn't write this thing. I didn't make it out. And we can pretend, okay, let's pretend that we don't really believe that. We don't believe in a hell. We don't believe in anybody's going to produce any consequences. You know, hard enough, I couldn't help myself. All the excuses in the world, I couldn't tell you what it says. If you don't listen to God, you won't get into heaven. Matthew 8:11-12 says, and I say unto you, that many shall come from the east and the west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The writer he gives here is to Israel, who is not listening to God at that particular time. But the writer applies to all of us. If we don't listen, we're not going to be on the grill. We're not going to be in that kingdom. I'm sorry, but that's the laws. And if I don't tell you that, I am a dishonest preacher. I have to say it's true. Right? Whether I like it or not, or whether I get popular, or whether I get paid, or whatever, the only way that I can tell you to help you and be really sorry for you is to tell you the truth. At one point, Paul said to people, he said, do I now become your enemy by telling you the truth? No, shouldn't. The truth will make us free. And that's where the bondage to sin are not free. Paul said it and Jesus said it. Both of them. They're not free if you're hooked up in sin. If you're dragged down with it, if you're tangled with it, if you are addicted to it, then you're not free. And I'm not going to help you by lying to you or screwing you over and saying it doesn't make any difference. All I do is complicate it. So I just have to say it like it says it. You're not going to get hurt if you don't do what's right. I'm not talking about legalism. I'm not talking about perfection or the other. I'm saying you have to repent and you have to ask God forgiveness. And God will make you free. It's not perfectly by following the laws and rules. It's by turning your life over to God, and God can restore you. God can change the problems that you have and deal with it. I don't believe you have to turn to the Lord to do that. I believe that God has the power to do it. Some people don't believe that. 1 Corinthians 6:9 says, be not deceived. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. It's important that you do not be deceived by what people say. All the attractions of things. The lust of the flesh deceive the mind. They shut it down. That's why you need to stay out of it, because it's harder to get out there than it is when you're in it than after them to stay out of it in the first place. Once you get hooked, you know, like some drugs. if you fail to it, you're not going to get elected. But you got hooked in it, then you got big problems trying to dig your way out of it. And you need help. Don't let anybody deceive you. Matthew 24:11, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. That's going to be 15:33. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good morals. The people you run with, the things you watch, the things you listen to, and the things you read, they corrupt your mind. Don't let that stuff in. It's a lot harder to get it out than it is to get it in. Romans 16:17-18. Now I beseech you, I beg you, he says, brethren, not that it caused divisions and occasions contrary to the doctrine that you have learned and abandoned them. Stay away from that kind of those kind of people. Brethren, such so not to love Jesus Christ, but to love them, and by good words and fair speeches will deceive the hearts of the simple. And just buddy around with people who have these problems, pretty soon you mess up your own comprehension. Ephesians 5:6. Let no one deceive you with vain words, for because of these things comes the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Well, in the book of 1 Samuel. For the patience. Shall not inherit the kingdom of God. First Corinthians 5:1. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication is not so much as named among the Gentiles that once you know his father's life. That was the condition that he was, they were dealing with there. The man was having a sexual relations with his mother-in-law, or his brother, sorry, his father's wife, his stepmother. 1 Corinthians 6:13-7-1. Meats for the belly, and not the meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God has both raised up the Lord, and will also raise up us by his own power. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. Know ye not that that which is joined to a harlot is one body? But two say he should be one flesh. Fornication is a sin. Don't be connected to anyone other than your own life. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Your spirit is not very one with the Lord. How then can we have fornication relationship? Three, fornication. Every sin that a man does is without his body, outside his body, but he that commits fornication sins against his own body. He's harming himself. Because God intends to raise that body. And we're doing ourselves an injustice. But I want you to notice what he says here. He says, flee fornication. Flee fornication. You know, that's the only thing I know of that will deal with the problem. Run. Get out from that, like Joseph did. He fled. Left his camp. He got falsely accused. But he got out of the problem. It would have been much worse if he had got involved. See? Free fornication. Get away from it. Don't look at it. Don't hang on it. Don't get involved in flirtatious relationships. And if you get involved in it, get out of it. Run. You know, this thing is dangerous. It is not. It's a monster. And when it gets its teeth in you, it's mighty hard to get it loose. Free fornication. particularly on young people. Your whole life depends on, your whole future depends on staying out of these relationships that are not of God. Free. Every sin the man dies is outside the body. But know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which you have from God, and you're not your own. Not your brothers, what I do. No, own me. Well, I will tell you something about you're a Christian. You don't own yourself. God owns you. You've been bought with a price. Don't steal from him. You rob him of his possession. That's right. Now you're bought with a price. Now put grandfather down in your body and in the spirit with your God. Be something worthwhile. Be quality. Don't sink into the depths of sin and have it destroy your life. It'll turn it for the rest of your life. Surely you can recover, but you'll never recover to the place where you would have been if you stayed out of it in the first place. You'll always have the memories. You'll have certain things that are within your very being that are not going to be able to be gotten rid of. You can try all you please, but you won't totally shake them off. But God can cleanse the spirit, and he can make you renew. That's what we're talking about this morning. Adulterers. People who play around with somebody else and get into trouble. And next thing you know, they got all kinds of problems. Adulterers. Not faithful to their mate. Again, you can be forgiven, but you're going to have a hard time forgiving yourself a lot of times, and you're going to have problems with this relationship that you got hooked into. Adultery, it's a dangerous thing, and God cares about it. One of the major things is because the very common human depends upon faithfulness to each other, honesty with each other, integrity. And without that, pretty soon you've got the family broken up. The children are in a mess. Trying to bridge this gap, you know, is none of your business? What do you mean, none of my business? It's everybody's business. It's God's business. When you're going to destroy a harm to your children, and your relationship with God, most of all, it really is important. Listen, that is a terrible thing. You will not hear the kingdom of God if you do that and don't repent. Matthew 19:9, and I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his right, except that ye for fornication and shall marry another, commits adultery. And whoso marries her, which is put away, commits adultery. God laid down some rules. You can't just jump from one bed into another. Okay, and be pleasing to God. It's trouble. It hurts people. It hurts yourself. It hurts your relationship with God. Romans 7:2-3. For the man who has a husband is bound by the law of the husband so long as he lives. But if the husband be dead, she is from the law of her husband. Only with the exception of fornication. And that's because somebody has already destroyed their relationship with God. So then if that husband lives, she be married to another man, she should be called an adulteress. Well, we shouldn't use those terms. Those are so negative and so judgmental. That's what God said, I'm sorry. But if her husband be dead, she is free from the law. But she is now an adulteress, though she be married to another man. That's how God expects it to be accomplished. Your eyes, the hardness of the heart, in cases of fornication, he allows the person to divorce only another, but he doesn't like it. God says he hates putting away. He hates divorce. They're feminine. Shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Feminine, this is the Greek term, has to be soft, and primarily Vera seems to be in this context dealing with a boy kept in homosexual relationship to the man, and a man who submits his body to a natural lewdness, and a man prostitute, all these kind of things. They say, oh, that's awful. I would never do that. Okay, but you know, some people in the churches have, and God says, these things are terrible, but he says, such were some of you, and we'll talk about that change. It can still be corrected. I don't believe in this idea that you have some kind of a gene that you can't help yourself once you get into trouble. I believe that God has a power to restore. Abusers of themselves of mankind. Homosexuality, these kinds of behaviors, they're disgusting to many of us. Others think, oh, it's okay. That's just a lifestyle. Well, whatever man may decree, God isn't run by. They're not in the kingdom of God. Romans 1, 26 and 27 says, for this cause, God gave them up. And the affections, for even though women did change the natural use and do that which is against nature. And that was also the men, leaving the natural use of the women burn in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly. And receiving in themselves that recompense for the error which is kept. Please, you know, we'd like to say, well, all those homosexuals, all those adulterers, all terrible people. Well, you know, those aren't the other kinds of sins. Thieves steal from people. It's a sin. You won't get into heaven doing it. You do repent of it. Shall not inherit the kingdom of God. 15:16 says, but let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief, or as an evildoer, as a busybody, or other men's matters. These kinds of things need to be removed. Let any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, and let him glorify God in his behalf. And when the sun is feeling out, but rather let him know the working of his hands, the thing is good, let him know how to give to him that needs. That's how to deal with it. If a thief is stealing from somebody, he can do something good. That's how to recompense this. But God forgives. Purpose. The desire to take advantage of people, to get something for nothing. This is the sin that is involved so much in gambling. The desire to get a quick rich without really working and earning it. Beware, it's a dangerous thing and it gets people hooked. Shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Romans 13:9, for this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, here's some of the nest. Thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Colossians 3:5-10. 5-10. Put to death, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inanimate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry. Covetousness is idolatry. Pulling the making of money, or the getting of money, or goods ahead of God, is idolatry, because you're putting what's anybody's put ahead of God is idolatrous. For which they say the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience. And what's your answer, Watson and Simon and Lieberman? Maybe some of you good, pure people never had these problems, but you know, most of us are sinners, saved by grace. God, we have problems. We have had all kinds of background situations, but God can clean it up, and He can give you a new hope and a new life. But if we don't listen, the wrath of God comes upon us. 1 Timothy 6:9-11. But they that will be rich falling from temptation, a snare, and a fierce word for us which drown men into destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil. It's the love of money. Money itself is not wrong. But that love, that desire that controls and shuts out doing what's right and caring for others. For while some coveted after, they have earned from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. You know, getting things isn't the solution. You can destroy yourself, you can hurt yourself, you can hurt your family by doing wrong. But thy man of God, please, he says, you know what I said again about a lot of things you just need to run from. Don't tease yourself. Don't play around with it. It may be fun, but God says, flee. And then you need to follow some things. But the righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness, those are things you need to be following. Not these covetousness and other things. Filters. So sad how people so many times get hooked into this. Shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Romans 13:12-13, and I just ask that the Lord's at hand, let us not cast out the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the valley, and not in rioting and drunkenness, not in killing and rottenness, not in strife and enemies. We need to get rid of these kind of things. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provisions for the flesh to fulfill in us. We can't just walk close to the line as possible. You're going to step up and you're going to get in trouble. Give yourself some space. Stay away from some of this stuff. Get some distance. I know that there are people who have had problems in our church because they thought it was an innocent thing to get together and have fun drinking. It's truth. And people in the medicine, they'll do foolish things when they get to drinking. Huge problems. Bible warns against it. I don't mean that drinking anything is to itself out. I'm just saying, though, that parties, drinking parties, are trouble. Drinking together is trouble. One drink, I would say, have it to yourself. But beware of your example. Don't be drunk with wine, words, and excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Get the Spirit in you, not the spirits. Speaking to yourself in Psalms and hymns, have some fun praising God, singing songs and singing, making melody in your heart to God. That's where you should be having your drive, not in getting caught, getting catching in. My God, I'm having such a great time. That's right. Well, then go home and fight with your wife. Beat your drugs. So, we listen to God. Beware. Romans 14:21. It is good neither to eat flesh nor to drink wine or anything whereby your brother's tongue is always offended. They shouldn't eat meat sick. No, I'm not saying that. He's talking here about the eating of meat sacrificed to idols. I can smooth stay with them. Don't mean any business in the idol's temple, and you don't mean to be sitting in the bar. Don't do anything. Including drinking your wine, that how your brother stumbles or their family, they have made weak. Think of the other person instead of just, I want a dozen. I want to feel good. Think of other people. How is it going to affect your kids? How is it going to affect other people? This is what Christianity is about. It's not about our freedom, it's about our love for each other and our love for God. Get that as the key thing. It matters. You know, some people's mouths can be so vicious. A lot of heads in their God, the Bible says. Let me give you some examples. You are a real stupid anti-church. I couldn't believe you were so stupid. What a hypocrite you are. Part of the Bible does not apply to you. You're demoted. You're womanizers. You're madmen. Tiny men with little tiny brains. Extractors. People who take advantage of other people shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Ephesians 5:4 says, go now. You that you rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted. Your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and your silver is treasured, and the rest of them shall be your witness against you, and you shall eat your flesh as it were fire. You will heap treasure together in the last days. My time is up. You've heard half of the sermon, and I'm going to bring the other half next time. We're going to look at the solution next time. Right now we look at the problem. The mess of the world's in. We want to talk next time about the solution to the problem. Thank you very much. God.